We're changing things up this morning. We'll sing more songs later, I promise. I know that's the better part. I know that's what you come here for. You don't want to listen to me. You want to worship God. And there's a reason for it. And I just want you to hold on. Because just trust me on this one. And my youth are in the cry room waving at me right now. As a church, we've been going through this theme of a family of God. We've been looking at what it means to be a family, what it means to be a community. I believe that this sermon that I've crafted for us, that God's given me today, meets us as a whole together as a community. This is a message for all of us, no matter what age you are, no matter how different you are from the person sitting next to you, from the person sitting across from the sanctuary from you. This is a sermon for all of us this morning. Back in February, my old roommates decided that we were going to have a time where we're going to spend time together because we haven't seen each other in a long time. It was a President's Day weekend, so on that Monday, we had an extra day, and we decided that we were going to spend time together. While I lived with them, almost all of them were avid rock climbers. And every time they would walk out the door, they would invite me to go rock climbing with them. And I'm talking about the rock climbing that's bouldering. So if you're not familiar with bouldering, bouldering is the one where you don't use any ropes. The walls are about 10 to 15 high, and you have padded areas where you just jump. If you land right, you're okay. But I continued to say no the entire time that I lived with them. And they would go on their own. They would go together. Come on, Ryan, just come with us just once. Like, you don't even have to pay. We got our guest pass. You'll be fine. We'll help you out. Like, no, that's okay. I don't want to go. So when we decided to spend some time together at President's Day, they said we're going rock climbing. And I knew it. They trapped me. I couldn't say no because I was already committed to spending time with them, and I hadn't seen some of them in months. So I said yes, reluctantly. And I'm there, and I'm climbing these rocks, and you know, I don't know if you've been rock climbing or if you've watched anybody rock climb, but it is really difficult. You're using muscles that you don't normally use. And I definitely don't have those muscles. And I don't know if you've seen me, but, you know, this is why they have me stand up there, not down here. But I don't have a lot of reach on me. So everything is kind of working against me when it comes to rock climbing. But I had my friends there with me, my old roommates. And I remember I kind of got to this point where I was like shaking on the rock, and there was like this one last reach that I had to do, and I could just hear them in the background. You got this, Ryan. You can do it. Go, go, go. Push, Ryan, push. And you know, I just kind of give it that last, and I got it. And I was like, yes. I was so excited. And I couldn't have done it without them. Now I have something funny to tell you. I now go rock climbing about 3 times a week because I love it that much now. The lesson here is that sometimes and oftentimes in life, things are difficult. And we don't have to do it alone. If I was rock climbing by myself that first time, I wouldn't have made it to that last hold. I would have never even gone. So what does it look like? Excuse me. So what does it look like for us as a church to encourage those around us that are struggling, that are hurting? What does it look like for a family of God to stand beside someone that is going through something difficult? How can we be a community that stands beside each other, that supports and encourages one another? Today we're going to look at the Bible and a story and a psalm that I think does this. And this is one that you're probably familiar with, one that you've heard a lot of times. But hopefully this morning we can kind of look at it with new eyes, with new insights. So I'm hoping that as we look at it, may you just bring a sense and an idea and an open mind as to what God has to say through us through this word today. When we read through the Psalms, we consider that it's a collection of poems, of songs, and there's a creative and an artistic form to them, that they've been crafted in a unique way that other places in the Bible haven't had that same sort of artistic style added to it. Particularly this morning, we're going to look at Psalms 121. It's considered to be a hymn. It's considered to be a traveler's psalm, which is a psalm of people journeying to go to the temple to worship God. So they would have sung this together as they walked and as they journeyed to worship God together. The journey, though, was difficult. The journey was demanding. It was dangerous. They would have walked alongside cliffs where they could have slipped and fallen, where there would have been rocks. They would have had to fight the heat of the day. They would have had to fight heat exhaustion, severe sunburns, heat stroke, dehydration. They would have had to fight at night against the severe cold of the desert. They would have risked hypothermia and frostbite. There was no doubt that for those that were traveling, that they're difficult. Their journey was difficult. It was tough. But as they journeyed, they would have known and they would have looked ahead. They would have looked ahead and known that their goal was to worship God at the temple. When I think of journeying and hiking, I think of a time I went to Kauai with my parents and some family members. My dad and I decided to go on a difficult hike. It had just rained, and Kauai has this kind of clay dirt, so it's slippier than other dirt. And he showed me the picture in the guidebook. He said, "This is where we're going. Look at that view. It's going to be great." And my mom, being very smart, said, "I'm not in on this. It just rained. You guys are, you know, getting in over your head." But us being stubborn, hard-headed, determined to see this beautiful view, decided that we're going to make this trip. Well, it is a difficult one. You have to grab roots of trees to, like, get up into the next steps, and you're slipping because it had just rained. It's all misty all around, so you're getting covered in mud. I remember we kind of reached this plateau part, and we're at the end, and I kind of run ahead because I'm like, I want to see this really good view. And I look back, and my dad's walking behind me, and there's these wooden boards that are there. And I look behind, and my dad just does one of these, whoop, right on his butt. And I was just laughing and laughing. He was okay. But when I think of journeying, I think of that time for me. I wonder if you think about a time where you had a journey and it was difficult. And I'm not just talking about a difficult hike, but I'm talking about a difficult time in your life that was particularly hard for you. I think about, for me, watching my mom go through cancer. I think about, for me, watching my mom die from cancer. I think about the times where she was there on hospice care in our living room. I think about that those times are extremely difficult for me. I don't know if you have a time like that in your life, but I want you to consider that as we look at this psalm. As I read this ancient psalm, I want you to think about whether you think it was sung by one person or is it a community of people together? Psalms 121 says, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The traveler first declares that I will lift my eyes to the hills, as to say that I see what's going on right in front of me, right in front of my life. There are these things that I'm facing. I don't know what you're facing right now, but there's something in your life that you're looking at, and this is ground level for you. This is real life, and you're looking at something right now. And you're going to say, and this traveler is saying, I see what's going on in my life right now, but I'm going to choose to direct my eyes elsewhere. And what this traveler is saying is that I'm going to choose to direct my eyes to the Lord. And the traveler asks, where is my help? Where does it come from? How many times have you looked to God and asked, where is my help? Have you desperately cried out and looked for him for help? Have you looked around and said, where is my help? Immediately, the psalmist answers their own question. My help comes from the Lord, who created heaven and earth. The psalmist knows that God is their help. How many times has God responded to you in your help, in your need for help? The hymn that makes an astonishing turn. This is astonishing. I love this part. We realize the traveler is not alone. The language changes from first person. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And it changes. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on till forevermore. We realize that this is a community of people singing together. And they are declaring the Lord's character to each other. An encouragement in the midst of their journey, they sing to uplift, to inspire each other, as they claim that God is their help and that the person next to them, that God will be your help because he will be the one that is there for you. But there's even more to this song. As they would have journeyed towards the temple, there is no doubt that they would have gotten to a place where they would have saw it. They would have saw the temple on the horizon. And on top of the temple, there would have been guards. These guards would have stood there. They would have watched over. They would have protected. They would have kept safe the people and the temple from all harm. And as they saw those guards on the temple, they would have known that God was keeping that place safe. And just as those guards keep the city and the temple safe, that God is the one that keeps and guards you. We see in this passage that the psalmist uses this word for guard to keep, to protect 6 times. It's clear that the psalmist is using this image to encourage those around them. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved, because he who keeps, guards, and protects you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps, guards, and protects Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, your guard, and your protector. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse 7, the Lord will keep, he will guard, he will protect you from all evil. The Lord will keep and guard and protect your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep, guard, and protect your going out from this time on and forevermore. The travelers realize that God was with them the whole time. That their whole journey together, that God was like the guard. God was like the guard protecting them, keeping them safe. That through their journey, they didn't fall off the cliffs. They didn't experience the hardship of the day or the night. That God was with them through the entire journey, keeping and protecting them safe. So can we be a community that walks alongside each other into the journey? Can we be a community that knows and declares who God is in the midst of difficulties? Can we be a community that encourages those around us that are going through difficult times? Can we be a community that sings out who God is? As a traveling community finds hope in their anticipation of reaching the temple to the very place of God's presence, we find hope in our journey as we are anticipating the reaching of the goal of God's kingdom here on this earth. But until that day comes, we get to be a part of showing others what God's presence is like. That as we stepped into church today, God was waiting for you to show up. As we walked or drove or however you got to this place today, that God was with you in your journey. As my mom was fighting cancer, in May, she was diagnosed, and I went to my old college to celebrate graduations with some friends. And I'm not sure if we had actually even told the church yet that my mom was diagnosed with cancer yet. But I decided that I was going to reach out and ask for help, support from the people there. When I had spent my time there, I invested in a lot of people. I trained a lot of college students, my peers, and I poured into a lot of people. And so when I shared that with these two girls, they made me this letter. Sorry if you can't see it. It says, "We love you, Granucci." I'm going to read, like, really one sentence. This is just all I needed. "We are so thankful for your friendship and for your care for us. Now it is our turn to care for you." You, our church, sent my family letters. If I read all the letters, we'd be here for all day long, maybe even a whole week. I probably had enough letters. Maybe they could probably reach as tall as I am. This letter is one that represents the many of the support that I received, that my family received. That through our difficult times, we were reminded that we weren't alone. My family wasn't alone. That we had beautiful church families such as yourself, that I had other friends that were there to support and care for me. And so I'm asking you, the church, will you continue to be that people? Will you continue to be the family of God that encourages your community around you? To the elderly in our church, how can you encourage our younger generation? How can you empower them as they struggle through finding God and growing into adulthood? To the young in the church that are growing into adulthood, how can you respectfully encourage the elderly in our church? How can you support them? How can you uphold them? How can we encourage the children and the youth to grow into young men and women of God? How can we encourage our young adults to transition into adulthood and be a light in their workplace? How can we encourage our singles in our church, and not just to get married, but how can we encourage them? How can we encourage those starting and raising families? How can we encourage those facing depression? How can we encourage those facing health difficulties? How can we encourage those facing addiction? How can we encourage those facing loss? And for those of you that are still wrestling with your faith and searching for God, I want to invite you into a community that wants to encourage you on your journey. The Venice Church wants to be a church that journeys with you. And I want you to be a part of that. And I'm inviting you to a church that will journey with you. So how can we encourage the church? How can we encourage those around us? Imagine if we became a generation that was filled with the confidence of the Lord, that his character as guard and protector was confident, was flowing from us. Imagine what that would look like from our community. Imagine a community that came together to encourage and support each other. Imagine the potential impact that us, our church, would be able to have if we encourage others that are going through difficulties. We're going to go in time of worship. And I did this so that we could sing together in declaration. That as you sing, that you are not alone in declaring who God is. That God's character to you could be an encouragement to the person sitting next to you. That as you hear the voices of those around you, you know that you are not alone in where you stand. That when you walk out of the church today, you are still a part of a community that loves and cares for you. So as you sing, you don't sing as just one, but you sing as a community, as a family of God together. May you, if you're facing difficulties, I remember the first morning I was here after my mom was diagnosed. I was singing songs I didn't even like. Because I was like, God, I need everything that you got for me this morning. So if that's you this morning, may you just declare that. May you open yourself up to everything that God has for you. May you open your ears up to the community that sings alongside of you, that has been through the difficult times, that will declare beside you that God is with you, that God is the one who loves, that God is a person of character that is going to guard and protect and to keep you through your journey. Let's pray. Father, we all individually come with so many real life things this morning. So as we reflect and engage on where we are, what the real life things that we're facing, may we be able to sing and worship you. May our songs be an encouragement to those around us. May you give us strength to be a community that stands and journeys alongside of each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.